fellow fiends, welcome to another terrifying and delectable episode of Nightmare on Film Street. The horror podcast with zero credibility, but all of the blood, ghouls, and gore your puny heart can handle. Let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And this week we are talking movies that take place while you're sleeping, with 2007's Wreck and 2011's Grave Encounters.
That's right, we are kicking off Found Footage Month all June long. We are going to be celebrating found footage horrors here on the podcast and over on the website, nofspodcast.com. We have a ton of great stuff planned, editorials, retrospectives, us talking about movies that have shaky cameras and headaches, and all that fun stuff. I'm really excited. Found footage is one of my favorite. It's like one of my secret dirty pleasure sub-genres. So.
It doesn't have to be a dirty pleasure.
No, you can just enjoy celebrating it out loud.
Exactly.
In the open, where everyone can see.
And if you're out there shaking your head at found footage right now saying, nobody good does found footage, I want to remind you of a little movie called The Incident at Loch Ness, directed by Werner Herzog. Yeah, that's right. Technically a found footage movie.
You're talking to a Werner Herzog audience right now.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is, like, enraptured.
Yeah, well, it's Thursday. It's Fitzcarraldo Day. Everybody's watching it.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's that movie with that guy who takes a boat and wants to, like, bring it to the top of a mountain to turn it into an opera house. And Werner Herzog actually did that.
Yeah. What's the Loch Ness one about?
So it's kind of a mockumentary because
is it spooky?
Well, there's a monster in it.
But is it a log?
isn't Nessie a log anyway?
No.
Oh, the fictional monster?
No, she's not.
That photo, that grainy photo we've taken a photo
of. She's so cute.
She's so cute. It's a nice story.
Nessie.
But that's right. We are celebrating found footage this month at nofspodcast.com. We got all your lists. We got all your recommendations. We are celebrating the classics and the undiscovered gems. Because I would say, of any subgenre, this is probably the one that has the most undiscovered films.
There's like, so much.
Oh,
there are
yeah.
so many found footage films. So.
Pretty well anybody can make one on their cell phone if they wanted to.
That's true. We could be making one right now if something scary were to happen right now. But it didn't because we didn't plan it ahead. Okay, so John, what's keeping you creepy this week?
Well, obviously, the 2019 Overlook Film Festival just wrapped. We only got home a day ago. We're still
recovering.
Buried. Yeah, sure, recovering. We're still,
just, you know, eating vegetables and drinking water.
There's a lot of bourbon on Bourbon Street, guys. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know if I was prepared.
Some of the highlights of this year's festival were, of course, the world premiere of Chelsea Stardust's Satanic Panic, released by Fangoria, Brandon Christensen's Z, his follow-up to Stillborn, the U.S. premiere of Jim Jarmusch's The Dead Don't Die, the list goes on and on. If you want to check out our coverage of the festival, our reviews and interviews with filmmakers, head over to nofspodcast.com right now.
Yeah, some of my highlights from the festival, I really enjoyed Extraordinary. It's a comedy ghost movie.
Very cute.
The Lodge, which is very spooky, cold weather isolation movie.
I'm going to jump in here right now before Kim remembers that she loved The Vast of Night.
The Vast of Night.
Right? Oh, man. So great. Won the jury prize for best feature and apparently was a unanimous decision. And no surprise at all.
Yeah, it's a little bit sci-fi, not quite horror, but definitely up every genre fan's alley.
Yeah, I would say a big recommendation if you are a fan of War of the Worlds, the radio program.
But you can get reviews for all that stuff at nofspodcast.com. There's more hitting through the weekend. John and I have been working our hardest to get everything compiled and ready, but there's been so much coverage, so it's going to be trickling on the site for a few days.
Also, because we were away in New Orleans, we didn't get a chance to see Godzilla. In fact, when this podcast drops, we still won't have seen Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And I am hearing nothing but good things from the right people, especially our reviewer, Mary Beth, who...
loved it.
Yeah, right? Basically said, this movie is for Godzilla fans. So I'm really looking forward to checking it out. We will be seeing it this weekend and releasing our Drive Home from the Drive-In review of it on Patreon at patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. And while we're here, of course, I want to give a big shout out to our most recent patron supporters, Jason, Elia, Elia?
Great save, John.
Yeah, hey, I mean, you got to shout it out twice.
Hopefully one of those was correct.
I hope one of those is correct. I really do apologize. It might be Elia, but I don't think so. I think it's... I don't want to say I
do
think
it. Don't do it. Don't do it anymore. You tried your best.
Thank you very much. And also, Spencer, you guys are great. Now, I'm glad I've got the three of you here because there's been some noises going on in my house. Some knocks on the walls, some bumps in the middle of the night, and I can't figure out what it is, but it's okay. No big deal. I've got these three little cameras here in front of you. One of you can decide who's going to talk for 20 minutes about why we're recording. I'm going to step out of the room because I can't handle it. But after that, I'm going to need you to just walk around, night vision on, all hours of the night, just investigating the darkest, scariest parts as though nothing's going to jump out and attack you. Nothing's going to jump out and attack you, as far as I know. But if there are ghosties, we're going to catch them.
And then cut, print, turn it into a film.
Yeah.
Profit.
Some of you may die. As always with these things, somebody's got to go. Because we have to release it in your memory. Also, if you drop the camera and I pick it up, that's what makes it found footage. Because I can't just, like, okay, everybody deliver the tapes to my desk Monday morning. And like, oh, who left these tapes here? I guess I found them. Like, I have to find it near your body. Legally.
What? I'm so confused. But thank you guys so much for your support on Patreon. If you are interested in becoming a patron and getting fun stuff like shoutouts, merch, swag, and bonus content, you can head to patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. Also, our May giveaway has now officially ended, the Cult of Fiends giveaway. We have announced winners, so please check your inbox. We are still waiting to hear back from three winners, mailing addresses. If you don't have good access to your email inbox, just double check the contest page because we have the winners posted there, and then we'll mail out your prizes. And if you were unlucky, good thing for you, we have another giveaway started. We have a copy of the Us Blu-ray combo. It's Blu-ray, DVD, and digital that we are giving away courtesy of Universal Home Entertainment. That is over on our Instagram page at instagram.com/nightmareonfilmstreet, and that is open until...
June mid-June. 17th.
Yeah, so you have a few days to enter that, and you could get a chance to win a copy of Jordan Peele's Us.
Is there anything else?
No, I think we downloaded it all. I feel like we had to do a lot of housekeeping because it was like such a crazy weekend. Mm. I'm excited to talk about these movies because found footage month.
I'm also excited.
Found footage. I don't have a follow-up.
All right, let's kick it off. Let's talk about the one found footage movie I think everybody likes, even people I know that don't love found footage, all love Wreck.
So Wreck from 2007, currently sitting at a 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, 69% Metacritic rating, and a 3.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
We saw this movie together for the first time, right?
I think we did.
Yeah. Do you remember how we came across it?
No.
Neither do I.
I do not.
Yeah. Because this is definitely in the days before
I think
Netflix.
We rented it. I think it was a Blockbuster find.
All right. Just one of those, like, blind grabs.
Yeah.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? Like, when your relationship, not becomes, but there is a point where you've both seen everything at the movies and like at the movie rental store, and if you don't find something new that neither of you have seen, the night's ruined. Do you remember that feeling?
I remember being sad a couple times at the movie theater, like, or at the...
Why do you say it?
It's because we don't say the video rental store anymore. When we couldn't find a thing. Lucky for us, we had a really good section of like foreign and festival finds. Do you remember that section?
I do.
It was just one tiny wall in between.
Nobody ever rented it.
It was like in between the men's bathroom and the women's bathroom. And there was one wall. It was just like one bookshelf size.
It was kind of just like an odd duck section because it also had documentaries.
Foreign films and just some like odd festival movies. And there was only ever like one copy of each film.
And we bought
them. And
they
were always there.
And we bought them when that store went out of business.
Yeah, the second that Blockbuster went down, we were like, to the section.
Yeah, I mean, it's how we discovered like Enter the Void.
Taxidermia.
This is Joan Rivers. Like, all of, like, just, like, the weird one-off movies we own that nobody seems to remember.
Huh. Funny.
And Wreck was one of them. Good God, is this a good movie.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't seen this movie in a really long time, watching it for the podcast, and I had forgotten how genuinely scary this movie is.
Yeah.
And it's a different kind of scary because it's like... first-person video game scary. It's scary in the way that, like, the Resident Evil games are scary.
Residential Evil.
Oh, population 12 seniors.
Yeah. You left the curling iron on again, and I burnt my hand.
It's first-person scary.
Yeah.
So scary.
It's nuts.
And not like a jump scare scary or a paranormal... Like, I don't know how to describe how scary this movie is in that it's very... raw. They really nail the found footage frights in this movie.
It's because you are really on that ride. As much as I think every found footage movie is probably also trying to do that, you kind of feel like the person holding the camera, maybe? Because it feels personal. Like, when the entire movie, they are trapped in a building, and you are trapped with them?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, yeah, you can use that language whenever you're talking about a movie, period. But I really feel that in this movie. And I think that's what gives it that video game element. Because in a video game, you're in control, it's you, you're seeing the things that you're experiencing.
And I think we're probably going to be comparing this movie to a video game a lot, because... how the information is doled out is more like a video game than a typical found footage film.
Oh, yeah, it's all there, but you have to walk up to it to read it. Well, like, you gotta press that A button, you gotta flip that paper.
You gotta read the notes from each room, but...
That is my least favorite thing about video games, where you find a journal and you gotta... Like,
I know,
like,
collect all the journal pages, or
fuck,
collect all the tapes,
journal.
And you're like, screw the story, I'm here to shoot the zombies that pop up.
Yeah.
But... normally with a found footage film, it's about a bunch of people investigating something. So, like, we're going to see this haunted house, or there's this legend here. Whereas this film wasn't ever intended to be a horror film or whatever. There was just, like, a phenomena that happened. It's closer to Cloverfield.
Okay.
In that we were filming a party, or we were filming a late night broadcast regarding firefighters and their nightly lives. And then this thing happens. So... it is really vague. For most of the film is vague. The ending is vague. And the information is only doled out to you slowly. It's a character dropping a line. And so some of these major plot points seem so insignificant when they're said. But you pick things up and you're like, wait, no, that's a big deal.
Like, it's like real life. Yeah.
When we finally find out that the dog was at the vet,
it's
like an hour after we've been with a girl who's sick. And for some reason, she wasn't really on our radar as much as she should have been.
Well, also, how do the EPA people know to come quarantine this building?
Yeah.
The firefighters got called because, like, a woman was in distress.
They're
like,
responding to a 911 call.
Yeah. And if the EPA, I'm just going to say that, I don't have any other phrase had as much information as the people at the firefighters do, the firefighters never would have gotten there. So surely they know something else. And that's exactly where that dog comes in. I remember writing that down. Like, I'd forgotten about the dog, but in my notebook, I was like, the dog is the key. The dog is everything. Like, underline this. I've cracked the code.
Yeah, it's just really great because of how in the dark you are. And you're right, when the EPA guys lock them in and they start putting down that ominous
plastic
tarp.
Yeah. There's just like a barrier.
There's something so surreal about it because they're with law enforcement.
Yeah.
And
that's what immediately adds some credibility to this, right? Because it means it's serious. Because they would, in terms of people to get out, they would prioritize. Well, they I wouldn't think they prioritize the firefighters.
Well, the fact
over
that
anybody.
The firefighters and the police, who are first responders, who are supposed to be taking charge of this erratic situation or this erratic woman or whatever the call was, are no longer in control and do not understand what's happening.
And they're not privy to any
they're
more
info.
They're
not into the, like, yeah, they're civilians in this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really creepy. I mean, that police officer, I think he's just kind of on a little bit of a power trip, and he's the one that's got the radio and he's talking to them, but he doesn't know anything.
No.
And I think that's part of the reason why he's pretending he's more in control and he keeps telling them to turn the camera off.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know anything.
Exactly.
And he's scared.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. This movie is great.
He's scared and he has to wear a hat.
It shows what people do when they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, you don't see that in necessarily everybody. A lot of them are just like, what do we do? What's going on? But it is always interesting to see how different people react differently when they are scared.
Yeah, I think Angela, the camera, or the
host of the television show.
What do you call it? The anchor, right? She
is
like
it
an
a
anchor.
News program?
She's. I'm sure it's. I think it's like a late night news thing that they just don't air live.
Yeah,
she's great because you don't really like her, and she doesn't necessarily do anything totally endearing until near the end. She does some really cool self defense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when things start to escalate, she keeps saying, like, we need to have the camera on. And she's kind of just really antagonistic about the camera, like, just shouting, like, we're keeping this on. We need to keep documented footage. And she keeps trying to update you on, like, how many people are dead and who's injured and stuff.
Yeah.
Like a reporter would. Like, she's doing a good job. But there's something really almost, like, she gets very offensive about it.
Yeah.
And I don't really like her in that situation. But I can see that character being real.
Yeah.
Somebody who is obviously used to limelight and has charisma and what they would want to do in that situation. And they would want to keep filming, and they would be almost, the way she's protecting her camera is almost the same way that the main police officer is trying to protect the scene
mm-hmm.
when they're both out of their depth.
Yeah.
And I like that we don't necessarily love her through these scenes. And it goes so fast that it doesn't matter if you like her or not.
Mm-hmm.
Most movies would really try to make you like the lead. Like in a lot of found footage films, we spend so much time with these characters before they go on their big project or their big event or their big filming thing. We see them packing their bags,
yeah, because
and
just
looking at all their gear
an
and being all excited, and maybe we have a night with them the first night where they all have dinner and they meet the locals, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's normally a really big extended setup, which I do have to admit I like, and I know you hate it.
I do.
That's why I'm a big fan of found footage. I love getting to meet and mingle and stuff with characters. But this film doesn't need it, and it's great that way.
Yeah. I wonder if she keeps saying, like, we have to keep filming, because in any fan footage movie, you at some point wonder, why are they still filming? Because self-preservation comes to mind.
They don't need to say that in this, though, because...
But then why do they?
But they are news.
Yeah.
So
that's why I think they really didn't need to say it at all, because it makes sense that they would continue filming. It's their job.
Yeah. And that's why I'm chalking up her saying, like, we need to keep filming. It's revealing her character more than it's trying to tell the audience why we have to keep filming, even though there's, like, a zombie maybe outbreak.
Yeah.
I think that's more revealing of her character.
Okay.
Because I do have to say I hate when they're like, we have to film this, we have to keep a record. And you're like, whatever. But the news would do that.
Yeah. No, they would. That is always, like, a shitty part in all these movies. But, I mean, it's a trope just like running upstairs or any other trope that you'd see in any movie. Like, it plays by its own rules. In a zombie movie, the humans are more dangerous than the zombies. Like, we've all got the same beats. It's just which beats you like, unfortunately.
Well, there's a reason why they've become tropes, is because they're effective.
Yeah, well, it also helps establish the subgenre. Like, yeah. Without it, you're just, like, a free-form movie, which is also good.
Which is also fine.
Yeah, it's great. But we came to fan footage because we were looking for something. Some people, like Kim, really like those boring moments.
Shut up.
So why get rid of them?
They're not boring.
It's a treat for people who like boring things.
Oh.
I love this TV show that they're filming, by the way. While You're Asleep, I think it's a great TV show. I would watch that, especially if I was up late at night.
In the middle of the night, I would totally watch that.
Yeah, it's these are the jobs that people are doing, or this is what's happening on the street. I don't know if she's always following professionals. It could be as easily as just walking around Central Park at night, which sounds like a horrible idea.
Or I would love to see an episode where she's at a diner with are the guys that serve drunk people pizza at 4 a.m.
Yeah, these are the people that come in and order food and fall asleep just because they need somewhere to sober up.
It's great.
Yeah, that is my television show. I want to see that. And they're bored. They're so bored because they knew coming to a fire hall could potentially be very interesting if they go out on a call, if there's a fire, if there's a cat that needs to be rescued from a tree.
But they also have to get enough B-roll in case that doesn't happen and all they have is footage of her trying on the fire suit.
And that's it. She tries to talk to the receptionist and they're just like, nah.
And it sets up to who we're going to be with. The two main firefighters, so that when we actually go out on the call, we have these almost two familiar faces who provide comfort, I would say, throughout most of the film.
They're there to protect her almost.
Yeah, I find myself being like, find Manu, where's Manu?
Well, yeah, because they're the guys that are standing up for them when the police say, why is there a camera crew here? Why are you filming? No, they're with us. They have permission, yada, yada. We need those guys to basically run defense for us as the main character.
Well, and also they're big guys who are trained firemen. In an outbreak of any sort, I would like to be with them.
Yeah, doesn't he pick up a sledgehammer at one point?
Yes.
Can you imagine just walking around swinging a sledgehammer?
But they're going upstairs to check out a monster situation. The one police officer has a gun. One gun between 12 people. Scary already. But he just grabs a sledgehammer and goes upstairs. And you're just like, good on you, sir.
Yeah, well, if it's all you got, it's all you got.
Okay, so let's talk about the first incident. Let's get into the plot a little bit. Yes, so that's why they were called on this emergency, on this 911 call, is because residents heard screaming in this four-story apartment building.
Yeah.
And a woman who is normally kind of reclusive and is odd to begin with, big scream, maybe a loud sound.
Possibly murder.
They think that she fell down or something, so they're going upstairs to check it out.
Yeah, so they come into her apartment, and at the end of...
a really long...
Oh, man, these are the largest apartments that anybody's ever owned.
I'm sure they're
life.
Beautiful.
Oh, my God, it's insane.
Apart from the zombies.
3,000 square foot apartment. We're moving to Spain. That's what it comes down to. I didn't see anybody in that group that looked like they were... rolling in dough. Yeah. So we're getting an apartment. Unless it's rent controlled. Everybody there has gotten it from their great grandparents. But... yes, this old lady is just standing, and you can see just with the camera light a little bit and the moonlight coming in through the window that she's got blood all over her.
Yeah, and she's in a nightgown or a slip or something, and it is blood soaked. It is pink red with blood.
It takes her all of 10 seconds before she eats one of the cops.
The main cop. Bites his neck.
And as they're, so we've got... Why are we trying to do beat for beat for this movie? It's been forever since you've seen it. But when they try and take the cop outside, that's when... this movie is just
so
it raises
fast.
The stakes
yes.
so well. We get there. Oh, we finally got a good call. It's breaking up the monotony of hanging out in the fire hall. Oh, there's a lady. Hey, it might be a little scarier than we thought it's going to be. She's a monster. She's eating people. We got to get out of here. Door's locked.
And meanwhile, they're all carrying that police officer who's been bitten, and
he's
blood is just
everywhere.
Spurting out of his neck. He is in critical condition, and the door has been locked, and they're not allowed outside. Oh, and then some guy catapults from the stairwell 3 stories up.
Isn't it Manny? Isn't it our buddy?
It's the other one. It is
Alex?
Alex.
Poor Alex.
The first firefighter, kaput.
Yeah.
In the most shocking drop of all time.
Oh, it's insane. The first time we saw this, I think the first time anybody watches this, it destroys them. Because it's like a jump scare that breaks all the rules. Because people, it's tense, it's scary. What are they going to do? Oh my God, somebody just died in front of
us. Because we're still high on this weird, on the story of this guy is dying. Why won't they let us out? They've presented so many other things to ponder at the doorway, and then that guy that's upstairs with the zombie defeated.
Yeah, it's around this time in the movie that I start to think this is an odd thing to say, but it's there's a movie happening on its own, and these cameras are just here to witness it. I don't know if that makes sense. That's kind of what found footage filmmaking is.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. But a lot of the times it feels very staged. I use that term lightly.
Things happen in front of the camera more conveniently than they should.
Yeah, and it's the camera is like maybe just like a half a second behind the action and the scares. Like, they do a really good job. It's like the cinematographer wasn't told exactly where to look and what was going to happen. Like, all of the actors know exactly what they're doing. They're all moving. It looks like there are no cuts, and we are just watching a stage play where people are almost improvising a horror movie, and this camera just happens to be catching it at the right times.
Yeah.
Like, it is staged so, so well.
A point on that, there's also there has to be a really great awareness of what an audience would expect from a film like this, too. And this kind of goes with how it's staged. A little bit later in the film, they end up back in that hallway where the larger woman was zombifying.
Like up on the second floor or whatever?
Yeah, and they have to take her down, so they shoot her. But at some point, she's gotten another one of the tenants who also dies in the hallway. So there are two dead corpses in that hall. And we're having a scene in the foreground where Angela is talking to her cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just talking about what had transpired. Like, they just saw that woman get shot for running at the officer. And it was very tense, and mm-hmm. it was a really adrenaline charging scene. So they're just kind of trying to recover from that and figure out what's going on. But that whole scene, we have a clear view of these two corpses in the background. And we all know zombies at this point. We understand how they work. And we do not know. One, first of all, the girl in the front was just killed by a zombie, has not been shot at all. And the second one has already reanimated at some point. So we're watching so hard to make sure nothing moves, but also because we're terrified something might move.
Mm-hmm.
And in that entire scene, nothing happens, because the real plot of that scene is what's happening in the foreground and our two main characters trying to make sense of what's happened.
Yep.
But we're just expecting zombies to start moving.
This is why 3D will be great. It just isn't yet. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to give us that foreground and background storytelling where we're going to be watching two things at once.
But that scene is so tense.
Yeah.
Were you watching the characters in the front in that scene? I wasn't.
No one is.
I was watching those zombies and making sure their fingers wouldn't move. I was like, you guys stay down. Stay down.
You're grounded, mister. I always forget that they send a health inspector in.
Yeah.
In my memory, it's just a movie
lockdown,
where... full lockdown. Nobody in, nobody out. And we just watch how these characters deal with that. And to be honest, I mean, one, yeah, budgetary. It's a smart idea, because it's basically like a hallway, one apartment that's used for several apartments, and like another little service area. So like, budget-wise for this movie, it's great. It's a smart idea. But that's also sort of a trope for a standard zombie movie anyway. You have some action outside where we see how, you know, destructive the world is and like the zombies are everywhere, and then we hole up in one safe space and we watch how the group cannibalizes itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not unlike what we would see in a normal zombie movie, like a non-found footage movie. But bringing the health inspector in is cool, because it also eventually gives us a little more backstory on what the guys outside know, even though they know only marginally more than the people inside. So it doesn't really feel like a lot of exposition. There's still more for us to figure out ourselves later on. And that is the craziest part about the end of this movie.
You get all
the answers, but good God, you got to piece them together yourself. The health inspector confirms the fact that the dog was sick, and that the vet had basically sent up a red flag that this dog infected all of the other dogs, and they're all wild and crazy, and they want to bite everybody. And this is how we know that the virus gets transferred through saliva.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your blood type, this is the scariest thing, and this is such a smart take on the zombie move. It's not that the first wave of zombies take longer to become zombies, or that there is a specific set time, like, 45 seconds after you're bit, you're a zombie, or 2.5 hours, whatever's convenient for the movie. It's based on blood type. So you could get bitten and become a zombie 3 hours later, or you could get bitten and become a zombie in an hour, in 10 minutes, in 5 minutes. It's all based on your own genetic makeup, which would be true about any virus. It all depends on the recipient, right? You're more susceptible to the common cold or the flu than I am, yada yada. So why would a virus be any different?
Yeah, and so the health inspector, he's coming. I'm assuming this is a bit of a ruse. I don't know if they have any intention of letting anybody out, but they're basically saying that if they all give a vial of blood, they all just do a little blood test to confirm that they do not have the virus, they'll be let out, which I don't necessarily think is true.
They might be let out into a different quarantined area.
I think they might be trying to get more information about this virus, because this is, I would say that this is ground zero for this virus.
Yeah.
And they don't know anything about it. So, of course, they're going to try to get as many samples as possible, which is why the health inspector is there. But I don't know if they get any opportunity to take any blood, because as the health inspector comes in, the two wounded, which is the firefighter and the main police officer, they turn.
Yep.
And then they're, like, free.
And this is where all hell breaks loose. This movie ramps up real fast because the zombies they weren't chained to the bed. They were trying to handcuff them down. That's what the health inspector was telling them to do. But they were arguing and they were worried. And then they boom, zombified. And now they're on the loose. It's not going to take very long for them to get through that single glass paned door. But they do have like that weird shutter door at the textile shop that they're hoping is going to hold them off.
Garage door style. Let's do this.
Yeah. And so I don't even remember why, but oh, damn. Oh, this movie's so good. Sorry, I'm just remembering it live like we're watching it. So they come back, they're running away from those zombies, and the little girl who was sick is now fucking evil. And she's like attacking people, and she's running off. Like, she's like Gage from Pet Sematary.
She has time, though, at first to spit blood into her mom's mouth.
Oh, yeah, right? Like, the worry is that, oh, don't let them bite you. It's like, don't worry, got this covered.
Watch out, that's her saliva.
Yeah, right?
And then she runs upstairs like a little demon baby. Yeah, she's a scary little sprite, that one.
Yeah, but they're smart enough to at least handcuff mom to the banister, because they know immediately she's dangerous.
Yeah, and that doesn't become the friggin' biggest scare of the movie in 3 minutes.
Yeah, no. Because at this point, people are turning to zombies left, right, and center.
Everybody's a zombie. There's zombies upstairs. There's zombies in the textile shop who are slowly opening that garage door. Mom's a zombie who's handcuffed to the stairwell and is very hellbent on getting anybody that goes past up or down the stairwell.
Yeah. And despite helping everybody get to safety, that health inspector's been bitten and he knows what his fate is. So he locks himself in the bathroom. He's basically just like, get the fuck out of here. Stay the fuck away from me. I don't know how long I've got, but I'm dead. Like, I am dead right now. And unfortunately, that nice old man who's so very vain, he stays a little too close to that bathroom and gets bitten. His interview is great. Like, his little testimonial moment, like, what's my good side? Ooh, how are you today?
I also just
we're
like,
filming? Oh, we're filming now.
I also just like that even though there's this, like, emergency situation in this apartment building, these residents have no problem being, like, low-level petty like, slightly racist.
We get more about some of their characters, though. Like, the old people are, he's definitely got... Do you think he's got
dementia,
Alzheimer's?
I think it's just dementia.
Because he can't remember what floor they're on.
Yeah.
I do love that they bicker back and forth like an old married couple. But she's probably she's got a great memory, and he's losing his, and she's fed up of having to correct him.
But that plays good, too, because there's a few moments where they have that back and forth where you're a little bit worried he might be sick. But I think it's just dementia.
That's a good point.
Because we don't see them later in the movie. If they've become zombies or whatever this illness is,
yeah.
I don't think they're fast enough to be a huge threat.
I love the way you say that, because you're like, ooh, I got the goods. I got the theories.
I have theories. Like, I am so ready to get to this ending.
Okay.
I am so ready to get to this ending.
Okay, so some people turn into zombies, and then we go into the penthouse.
Well,
because there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, so they were trying to get keys to go through the floor of the textile warehouse, but there are too many zombies everywhere. And at some point, our beloved firefighter holding the sledgehammer has also become a zombie.
Oh, so sad.
So all that is left is our cameraman and Angela, yep, the reporter.
Pablo and Angela.
And we head to the penthouse, which is supposed to be...
Unoccupied. Yeah.
Oh, when she's trying to unlock the penthouse with the keys all the zombies are running up the stairs.
It's so good.
That is too much stress for me.
Yeah, it's like a ticking clock scenario, and you can hear them getting closer and closer. Then honestly, just given how the rest of this movie's gone, you're not 100% certain they're going to make it through that door. Like, would not be an uncommon found footage move to have them die at that door. And the camera hits the floor.
At that point in the movie, I don't even know what I'm expecting to happen, because all the characters are pretty much dead, and it is looking hopeless for our two leads. And so I don't know what I'm expecting when they finally open the door to that penthouse, but it's not what they actually open the door to.
Mm.
It's
not really spoken about the rest of the movie as this ominous, like, oh, we don't know who lives there. It's been empty for years. 20 years today, in fact. Like, it's not...
We don't think that we're going to find out anything.
No, we just think it's an empty space.
But you don't think you're going to find out anything about the origins of this outbreak. It's a small budget found footage film. And they've been doing a great job at scaring the shit out of us up to this point. So if it just ended and gave us no answers, I think we would have still been fine with the film.
I think how many answers we get, it's even scarier. It's just like, holy shit, it's all here. Oh, God.
Because they do that same thing where they just front load you with, like, spooky information. And then they drop another bombshell on you. And then it's just over. Mm. And nothing is overtly explained. So you kind of just have to take what you pick out of that movie. But... through it, they're also fighting some two main zombies and the light breaks, so you don't get a lot of chance to see what's actually on the walls.
Yeah, they think they've found safety. Unfortunately, they've locked themselves in with an even more dangerous threat. Patient Zero, we'll call her. So all around this entire apartment, we have...
Zero and 0.5. There's two things up there.
Okay, but one of them is the little boy from the Chinese family.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I think it's the little Chinese girl that was possessed.
I thought it was a little Chinese boy, because there's a little boy. Anyway, doesn't matter. There's a little kid. and somebody else, who we see. So throughout the entire penthouse apartment, it's like there's lab experiments going on, and there's newspaper clippings, and there's recordings from the Vatican about, like, what's going on. And this fucking apartment looks real nice, by the way. There's a ceiling mural in this place.
And the newspaper clippings on the wall, you don't get to read a lot of them, but there is one main thing that keeps popping up, and it's a possession.
Yeah.
There's this one girl who was possessed, and there's other possessions, but then there's also a lot of photos of brides.
Of brides?
Yes.
Okay.
There are a lot of veiled women.
Okay.
And we hear from this male scientist slash doctor slash... I'm assuming he's a scientist.
Yeah.
Maybe he's more leaning religious than scientist. But he's trying to extract the possession from this girl.
Yeah.
And I guess extract is the right word because of what it becomes.
Well, I think what they're trying to say is that possession is either a supernatural...
It's a tangible thing.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to say. Like the possession itself, the demon, whatever it is. Like, let's treat it like... a virus, which means we could cure it the way medicine cures other things. But it means you could also weaponize it. And maybe not weaponize it, but...
I don't know if they're there yet.
No, I don't think that's necessarily the plan either. They're just trying... They've got this hypothesis that evil is tangible and can be extracted or treated. And that's why they have this possessed girl. Because they're trying to use her as the experiment to get that demon virus, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the brides.
I just think that there's, now I'd love to see the scene more, but I would bet that somewhere in this room, there's got to be evidence to, like, the doctor's personal connection to this situation.
Okay.
Maybe his wife is possessed. And if he
is
can
it just
cure,
one specific bride or
I don't,
lots of
no,
brides?
No, I think it, so I don't know. But there's,
if you remember.
There is a lot of bride stuff.
Interesting.
And then the possessed girl story. So I'm thinking that they are they're using this girl as a case study, but I'm sure it's because he has a personal connection to eradicating this disease.
Interesting. Now, these brides, because I don't remember, so I feel like I'm interviewing you. Old-timey photos? Modern photos?
Old-timey photos.
Fuck, okay. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Rec 3 takes place at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Means nothing, obviously. I don't remember anything about the brides. Interesting. Could just be creepy imagery. Probably not, though.
I don't know.
And she's crazy. So what I assume happened is, because this place looks like it's been empty for a very long time, and it's dilapidated and gross. She escaped? Like, she was his test subject? She overpowered him or whatever?
Well,
and
he locked
he's
her.
Left.
He locked her up.
Okay. So he's just dipped.
Yeah. Or, yeah, he's gone. And
how did she get the dog sick?
I don't know.
That's the one thing I have a question leaving this movie is how she got the dog sick.
The dog could have been sniffing at the door or something, or maybe the landlord checked on the route. Like, who knows?
Okay, either way, dog got into something it shouldn't have got into, got sick. That's how it spread everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing has been locked in there for a while. It's emaciated. It's, like, gaunt and gross. It hasn't eaten in a very long time, but it's still
alive.
It's
very creepy. Yeah. So creepy. And at this point, the lamp has burnt out because the kid has attacked the cameraman. So they're on night vision. So the entire thing is green. I'm sure you've seen the images if you haven't seen the film lately. You'll remember that green light.
Oh, man, that, she's so nuts when she's eating people.
Ugh. Scary.
Very scary. And a great final shot. Why did they ruin it when they made Quarantine? Why did they do that?
What did they do in Quarantine?
In Quarantine, the scene where she's talking to the camera and screams and gets pulled away is in the trailer.
Oh.
It's a cool moment, but...
It's a nice surprise.
Yeah, don't put that in your trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
But what's so great, I think, about this ending is up until this point, we've just assumed zombies. And we've been saying it this whole podcast, zombies.
Yeah.
It's not a zombie movie.
No, not really.
It's a possession movie.
Yeah, but it's like possession playing by the rules of zombie. It's like they've taken the possession and they've mutated it and given it more power the way a virus does. Like, it's great. So weird. Because that means that all of these people are in control of, like, by the devil, we'll say?
Yeah, maybe? And, like, if it's a demon, does that mean the demon is simultaneously possessing all of these people? Or if it's just pure evil concentrate that they're just spreading around, like, a zombie virus?
Yeah. Or, I mean, you could take it the other way, where it's like, oh, well, demons don't exist, and this is just a virus. And because we never had any name for it, we said demons for years. But the fact that the Vatican's into it and the Vatican's doing the testing and whatnot, I'm going to stick with demons.
It's a very interesting angle.
Viral
it's something
demons.
That hasn't been explored before with the zombie like subgenre.
Oh, yeah. It's a great refresh for that whole take.
Especially when you see this main monster at the very end, it is something entirely different than... Like, why would you have this weird creature?
Mm-hmm. It's the stuff of nightmares.
It is the stuff of nightmares.
Oh, man, it looks so good. I love this movie.
It hits you, and you don't understand what's happening, and then it's terrifying, and it's over.
Yeah.
And you're left with, like, what was that?
Yeah. It's like the whole first half of the movie, the first two-thirds of the movie, it's an assault of fear. And it's just, like, it's nonstop. You get a few moments here and there where, like, okay, you can catch your breath, but for the most part, it's just, like, hit after hit after hit. Scare after scare, and at the end of the movie, it's you're still being scared that whole time, and you are running away, but it's like an info dump that you can't handle. It's just an overload, which I would think
like,
is
I'm
a great
confused.
Description.
Yeah. What is... Oh!
Oh, yeah. It's a great description for the whole movie. It's nuts. This is an information overload. It's a scare overload. It's full sensory overload. I like this movie a lot.
Yeah, and it does so feel like a video game, especially when you're with the cop and the firefighter, and you know there's zombies upstairs, and you're like, we gotta go find that little girl. I'm like, we don't.
No, we
no,
don't.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
And when they're trying to get away from the mom when she's been zombified and she's attached to the stairwell, I cannot handle that scene. That is so fucking scary.
It's pretty crazy.
Ugh, so many good scares in this movie. Are we ready to get ratings?
I think we are. Yeah.
Oh,
it feels like we got here fast, but whatever.
This movie is fast.
It's 118 minutes long. 118? It's an hour and 18 minutes.
That's not bad.
78 minutes. Not bad at all.
It's a nice short film.
Yeah. It's good pacing.
I you know I like a short film.
Yeah. Everybody shits on it, but like occasionally you get one and you're like, yeah, I wouldn't have made this any longer.
Get in, get out. Scare him a bunch.
Yeah. And that's why I'm giving this a 4 out of 4.
I'm also giving it a 4 out of 4.
I felt like you were stalling. You were waiting for me to give mine.
I was.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It seems weird to... I was like, no, not a 4 out of 4. Surely a 3.5. And it's like, what do I have to complain about in this movie? Absolutely nothing. I love everything about this
and
movie.
And it holds up. Like, I've seen this movie so many times and...
It was a joy to revisit.
The scares are so on point. I was like screaming last night watching this.
And you know all the beats.
And I know like all of the scares. It's so good. So well done. Such a awesome found footage movie. A really interesting take on the zombie genre. And like they threw a little bit of demon possession in there. And you know, it's just fucking great.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Moving on, let's talk about another fan favorite. We're going to talk 2011's Grave Encounters.
Mark. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Grave Encounters. Psychiatric hospitals like this were seen as sort of a dumping ground for embarrassing family members rather than a place that they could go to actually get help.
Many of them were severely disturbed. It's truly frightening.
I swear to God that I saw someone right at the end of the hall there.
And he swears that something pushed him off the ladder.
Tonight, my crew and I, using the most sophisticated in ghost hunting equipment,
we're in search of definitive proof of spirits that were unsettled in life.
And possibly unsettled in the afterlife.
Is there someone here with us?
Did you get that?
Do you see you rolling, man?
Yeah.
I'm gonna document everything because when we get out of this place, people are gonna wanna see this.
Matt and Houston are gone. We just need to focus on finding a way out.
So, Grave Encounters from 2011, currently sitting at a 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 64% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 33% Metacritic rating, and a 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Still pretty high, I would say, for found footage. Found footage is normally rated not so great. Now, what is your first introduction to this movie? Do you remember, like, when you first found out about Grave Encounters?
No. And I'm not going to lie, every time we watch it, I think I haven't seen it. I'm like, that title's really familiar. I think I've only seen the second one. And then we put it on, I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah.
I remember everything about this movie.
I have that too. And I think part of it is my brain remembers the hands in the
sure.
The hand scene and the bathtub stuff. Nothing else does my brain remember.
I'm all about Lance Preston. Like, that's what I remember. Like, I'm Lance Preston, and this is Grave Encounters.
But when I was reading up on Wikipedia when I was trying to get the ratings for this film, apparently the trailer went viral.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so this film had a really great head start because
that's fantastic.
It had like 32 million views on
that's crazy
on YouTube for the trailer for a found footage film.
Have you seen the trailer? Do you know if it makes it look as though it's like an ad for the TV show Grave Encounters?
I don't know.
Okay, because that would seal the deal for me.
So I think that's really interesting because I don't remember. I'm sure we didn't see this movie when it was first coming out, but I don't know, because I've always been kind of big on found footage.
Been huge on found footage.
But I don't remember when we first saw this movie, because I'm sure it was together. This movie came out in 2011, so we were together.
Yeah. No, every once a year, we both take vacations for a week.
And watch whatever movies we want.
We go to, we rent different hotel rooms, and all we do is watch movies. So that way we can still sound like normal people and be like, oh, I saw this
without lives separate of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember when we first saw this movie, so I know this is probably the third time we've watched it. Like, the podcast viewing, we've definitely seen it a couple times before this.
Yeah.
And I think that comes down to, I kind of hate ghost shows. I kind of hate them.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
But if it's 2 a.m. and they're all that's on, like, I'll watch a ghost show. Maybe mainly just to hate at it.
So yeah, but I think
I have an outlet for my ghost show hate.
I think it's funny, you're miming having your hands around its throat right now. But I think it's that disinterest in those shows, and maybe just like the raised eyebrow you have while watching them, that makes movies like this better. Because you have to think that those shows are bullshit in order to really love this movie. Or maybe not.
I think it goes both ways. I'm sure people who like ghost shows and really believe in like EMF and all of that fun ghost technology that's stuck in 1998 can really get behind the parody of it, especially when they're proven to be right. I mean, the building is definitely proven to be haunted in some kind of fashion.
But they're paying people to say that at one point, right? Like, they're like, oh, this groundskeeper who just started, who doesn't want to talk to the film crew, he gives them $20 to say that he worked here for 10 years. And I've seen a ghost.
I was over there.
Right over there. He was very scary.
It was very scary.
But, like, the bullshit scenes are where we're going through that text.
But
stuff.
That's just the show. I mean, I'm sure the other shows are real legit.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, it's just, he's a composite character. Like, other people have said it's haunted. We just don't have them here with us. So he's a stand-in for real people and their real experiences. That'll never get you into hot water. No, but, like, the bullshit parody moments, I think, are great when we're going through the tech. And you're like, yeah, this is our EMF reader. This is our EVP reader. And this is a Geiger counter. Like, isn't it so cool?
Doesn't it look sweet?
Like, yeah, man, it looks awesome. And at no point do they explain what it does. They have it because it looks great. And it's the machine that goes bing.
Bing.
Yeah, right? That joke's been running strong for 35 years.
So basically the setup for this found footage film is that it is a ghost television show. Now, we don't start with the TV show. We start with the producer of the TV show, you know, sitting in his office in front of his computer screen. And he's telling us we're about to watch the compiled footage of the unaired 6th episode of Grave Encounters. Now, yeah. 5 episodes have already gone and aired and whatever. And at some point during the 6th episode, something happened and then everybody went missing.
Yeah, what you're seeing now is real. And it's only edited for time. I love that setup because what they're essentially saying is, you've seen Faces of Death, right? That's fake. This, actual people dying. Enjoy. Like, that always makes me feel like I'm watching a movie and not like I'm watching something real. Like, it's always doing the opposite of its intention. But I think everybody goes into this knowing that it's a movie. I still think it's a good framework. I still like that.
It just reminds me of the Blair Witch, you know, like, these tapes were found under the foundation of the house, and it was impossible, and all that was left of them were their shoes.
Yeah.
That's from Doug.
oh, boy.
But, the setup kind of, it's funny because it's another thing that they're using to try to suspend your disbelief, but he says, like, oh, well, it's just been edited for time.
Well, what?
Like, why are they editing this footage?
Well, because otherwise it would have been like 8
who
hours.
Who are we and who are they airing it to? Are they compiling this professionally for the police? The police would just want the evidence.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he started with, Your Honor, I'm sorry I couldn't be in court today, but we've edited this footage for you for time. No. Would you have liked it more if it just went with that next screen where we have sort of like the...
Yeah, we just started date. With them, yeah.
Yeah, like the countdown, filming. Like in 5 seconds it's coming to this. Like, I like that in Blair Witch because it's just like a title card. In Cloverfield, starts with, like, property of U.S. government, and then it's got, like, a time code, and then we flip into it.
Yeah.
Like, recovered at the scene formerly known as Central Park. You're like, whoa.
What? Yeah, for me, the rawer, the better. The more raw, the better.
Yeah, the more rawer.
Rawer, the better.
Rawer.
Let's get it rawer.
Yeah. I'm a big rawer fan. You guys like rawer movies? I'm not trying to make fun of you, but it does sound like it.
So, Grave Encounters, we follow Lance Preston, who is the head hunter of...
He's a head honcho, I'll give you that.
Of this ghost
Lance
show.
Lance Preston. He's never not said his name with eight eyebrows.
eight eyebrows per synonym. Lance Preston. he is joined by Sasha, who is the occult girl.
Yeah, she's their specialist. And...
Matt, who's their techie guy. TC, who is cameraman.
Yep.
And Houston, who is their...
The greatest medium ever.
Their medium.
I love that they shoot additional footage for his arrival. Like, they shoot him coming in. We see the car park. We're back up, like, inside the building. And he looks up and takes his glasses off. And he's, ooh, a little worried. Oh, it's so good. Those are the scenes that seem the most like a reality television show, where they're walking around with Houston. Like, I don't know, there's some really dark energy in here. And I
was concentrating on this tub. I'm like, well, we did just learn from the landlord that a girl committed suicide in this very tub.
The speech pattern there. You've got that down.
The TV
you've
show
really
enunciating.
Got that down. Oh, it's the worst. And then just the constant recaps. Like, that's the only thing that could have made this movie better is if they also edited in the recaps where we're coming back from commercial and we see the exact same thing over
when
and
we
over
when we first
and
left
over
off,
again.
This door opened on its own. We're going to see if we can recreate that right now.
And then, like, quick cut to the door opening, door opening, door opening, door opening. Like, zoom in, zoom in, circle.
Inverted footage, so it's like blacklight, sort of.
Slowed down just a little bit. Yeah.
Now, Sasha, you said that you got a vibe earlier when you watched the footage of the door opening. Tell us what you feel. Door
That's
opening,
right,
door
Lance.
Opening.
When I was over there and the door opened, I got this sense that something was wrong. Door opening, door opening. Man, I hate reality TV. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It is funny, though, if you watch it. All reality TV, and I mean all reality TV, if you watch it thinking that the editor hates his job.
Oh, it's so
and
fun.
And the television show, it is a different experience altogether.
Oh my God. So I've watched a few episodes of that Lindsay Lohan reality show that they aired on MTV a few weeks ago. Maybe
haven't we all?
They do not make her look good at all. It is so, I don't know who on her team thought, you know what, Lindsay? I think you're ready for the spotlight again. Let's just do some, like, real, raw, uncut stuff. See you in your regular life. You know, like, in Mykonos and Greece. The editors are not kind to her, and it is hilarious. They make her look terrible. And she's always just off in her own world when they're trying to create drama, and they are not afraid to cut to it.
You know, the only unfortunate part there is that maybe she's not like that at all, but they've edited it to make
I
it look
don't
like...
Know.
Okay, can you give us a specific example?
Well, there's just a few weird instances where she's like, okay, I'll give you one really weird one. So it's about these, she's pretending that they need to hire like hosts for her beach club. And so it's these hosts who are doing these like not really challenges.
This is the premise of the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And halfway through the show, they decide that they can only keep four as
her employees.
So now all of
a sudden it's a competition?
Yeah. But at some point, they're off doing their challenge, and they have, like, their VIP guest that they're trying to take care of. And they cut to Lindsay, who's just, like, dicking off on her own. And she's trying to rescue a lobster from her seafood bar, but it's on ice. And what? She runs down the beach, and then she runs down the pier, and she drops it in the ocean.
Okay.
But the lobster is definitely dead. And the cameraman just follows it as it sinks to the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
And she's like, I'm like Ariel, and he's my Sebastian.
Did she say that?
She did.
Did they take lobster off the menu?
Oh, no, but there's another scene with a lobster later in the season. Like,
she
keeps trying to rescue lobsters, and they're already dead and on ice.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and you saw that meme where she's pretending she can cook.
Oh my God, I have seen that.
And she's literally just putting like tomato sauce on bread, and yeah. She uses it ketchup as like a plate decorator.
Yeah, like she's garnished like the way you would maybe take a sauce and sort of just like spiral it on the plate. She's doing it with ketchup, and it's just like torn up pieces of bread and lettuce, and it's. Like, she thinks that that's what croutons are, maybe?
I don't know.
The real question is, when she bites into that, does she think it tastes the same as when she goes to, like, a five-star restaurant?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, so weird. But, so that's what... I don't even want to say that I watch those shows ironically, because I don't know why I watched. I think I just watched them to like.
I think you watch it the way some
people. To appease that dark part of my soul that just wants to see people be fucked.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say maybe you watch them the way some people watch sports. Like sports, you can get invested. You can just watch it blindly. But it's just.
No, I think I watch it for dark and twisted reasons.
Okay. So it's not just like, let's turn my brain off for an hour and watch this show. All right.
I'm a bad person.
Maybe. But it's what's made you an expert on things. It's what's made you an expert on all things reality TV, which it's led you to here. Like, without all of that.
Bringing us back, John.
Yeah, without all of those years of
reeling
planning.
It in.
You wouldn't have understood or fully appreciated the depth of the Vicious Brothers' Grave Encounters.
Okay, so. We all kind of know what happens in this movie. They're touring around.
They're going to get locked in.
They're faking their ghost stuff. And then all of a sudden, some spooky stuff actually starts to happen.
My favorite moment. As soon as spooky stuff starts to happen, they say, fuck it, we're out of here. Let's go. They go to open the door. It's locked. It's like, you actually locked the fucking door? It's like, yeah, it's good for TV. It's like, yeah, but you didn't need to actually lock the door. And that's true. You don't. You do not need to actually lock the door. That sounds like not a health code violation, but just not a smart, safe move.
No, and I'm sure they needed a permit. They need an emergency exit.
Yeah, it's a TV crew. There should have been a paramedic on site.
And, you know, some of the spooky stuff is pretty standard for these movies. It starts really slow and
The window opens.
Very spooky, and ooh, it slowly so ramps up. Sasha's hair gets grabbed. That looks really
great.
That's
a great shot.
When her hair floats, like, that's a very spooky scene.
We see that in everything now.
It looks great.
Yep.
And then there's a few other things. It's just really mild at first, but when it starts to really get cool, and this was the best idea for this film. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of scares happening and this kind of gets dampened. But what I love the absolute most is that time and space are fucked.
Yeah.
So at around 6 a.m., they are all waiting at home base, which is right by the exit door or the entrance door, the main door to the building. And the landlord is supposed to come at 6 a.m. and unlock the door and let them out because they're done recording. Night's over.
Yep.
6 comes and goes. 7 comes and goes. He hasn't come. He hasn't unlocked the door. And the sun doesn't come up. And that is so cool. They're in this building, which doesn't exist in regular time/space, because once they start to really get panicked and they start getting lost, they start getting confused. The sun's not coming up. Their watches are saying it's 1 in the afternoon. When they finally break down the entrance door that they've been waiting for the landlord to come let them in, it just leads down to another hallway.
Oh, it's such a good move. And
so fucking smart.
There is something that's even, like, that just is the exclamation point on that whole moment, too. When they first arrive to the facility, the psychiatric place, it, spray painted on the front door is, death awaits.
And
they're like,
and it's so cheesy.
This is great, right? And they're just like, we can't use this. It looks too staged. It's stupid and cheesy, yeah. But when they break that door down, expecting to go aside and finding a hallway, they're like, what the fuck is going on? But when they look back at the door, spray painted, it says, death awaits. So it maybe at one point was the outside, but they are still locked in this like impossible labyrinth of a psychiatric hospital. It's like House of Leaves.
I was just going to say that. It is. It's very House of Leaves.
Oh my God. If you guys have not read that book and you are looking for something to read, it's maybe not like the perfect summer book, but it is one of the greatest horror novels ever. And it's honestly probably the closest thing to a found footage movie that you'll get in a book.
It is the weirdest formatted book of all time.
Yeah, it's got multiple perspectives.
You're going to be rotating that book. You're going to be reading different pages. It's almost like a choose your own adventure, but the adventure is people's eyebrows when they see you reading it on the bus.
Also, full descriptions of found footage in that whole book. Like, there are entire sections of that book that are just writing the videotape that they found of a person who tried to explore the impossible depths of this House of Leaves. Oh, man. Love it.
Another great element, too, and this plays into the impossible hallways and such, is when their next strategy is, okay, we don't know where the exit door is, so we're going to go to the roof access, and we'll take the fire escape down.
Yeah.
And they find the tower, which somebody got pushed down. The cameraman got pushed down at some point.
Yeah.
And then he's up and fine.
Yeah, the cameraman gets attacked a bunch.
Yeah.
And then he's just okay. I think maybe it's just like an editing.
And he has had enough.
Immediately.
He is like ready to go.
Yeah.
But when they get to the top of the tower or the stairwell, it's just bricked off.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wall. Stairs to a wall. Like very Winchester House, super spook. I love stuff like that.
Well, they've split off though. Houston, the medium has sort of hung back. He's like, forget it. Like when they first do, like they do multiple explorations of this building, and they're terrified. And he does not go with them for the next one. And if there's one rule, in any haunted place, don't leave yourself alone. It doesn't matter if
they do a lot of splitting up. I mean, at first they're off recording and they're doing work and stuff. But once we've confirmed like shit's fucked. Don't be alone.
Yeah, there's...
Cameraman Matt is already gone. The camera guy is already gone.
Yeah, and they don't seem too concerned about him at first. They do find him a little later, and then they remember how much they loved Matt. But for a while, Matt just doesn't exist, and they don't ask questions about it. But the three of them, Lance Preston,
TC.
TC and...
Sasha.
So Lance, TC, and Sasha are looking around for an escape. And at one point he goes, all right, you go down there. Me and Sasha are going to go this way. Like, I don't think we should split up. Like, just do it, okay? They're like, okay. And then they go. Like, that's it. That's the only explanation you get for splitting up. And unfortunately, it's because you need your characters to split up and cover more ground. It seems like the smarter thing.
Because we need shit to go down.
Yeah, unless you're Houston, because he's just going to hang out and do nothing. but then he gets, like, blown up.
Yeah.
That's a weird move for those.
His scene is freaky, though. So he's stuck in the dark.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any lighting. And so he's bumbling around the hallway. And so we're in a almost like a bird's eye sort of camera. It's in the top corner, like a security camera.
Yeah.
It's just wherever they've set up the camera for that hallway. And he gets like hung.
Yeah. Like they
lifted and he's choking and his feet are dangling, which looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like he explodes.
Yeah. There was an explosion. Or like an electric. And he gets like launched across the hall, launched across the room.
Yeah. These ghosts are angry.
Yeah, I think it's just all that kinetic energy colliding to throw them.
Like, I'll show you EMF!
Yeah, a Geiger counter this, you son of a bitch!
But it seems like the ghosts are ready to, like, are really just fucking with these guys, because at some point Sasha gets hello written on her back in scratches.
Oh, that's a weird one.
And maybe it is just the ghosts, like, you've come, you want to talk to us? Like, okay, we're here to talk to you. And I think there's something about the ghosts being like, you've called us and we've came.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see.
And they have nefarious intentions, but I think they are playing with them.
A little bit.
Particularly with the bathtub scene with the blood. That's a really great little magic trick those ghosts do.
But also, like, they're slowly losing their minds because, like, shit's just going crazy.
Well, they're exhausted and they're out of food.
Yeah.
The food has gone rotten.
Yeah, but the camera is evidence that this stuff is actually happening to them, right?
Like, because they keep going back and watching the footage. Like, they can see they've recorded this stuff.
Well, even if it were a regular movie and we were just watching this stuff happen, you could say, like, is this just in their perspective, right? Are we just seeing things through their eyes? But found footage as a medium is... an easy proof. Way to say this happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really good about this subgenre is that everything you see on camera is captured and is happening. It's physical. It's not metaphorical. It's not filmmaking. It's evidence. And the fact that they wake up and they've all got mental, like they've got patient bracelets on. Because like now they're admitted into the mental hospital. That is great. That's so
good.
And that's where they meet up with Matt again, too, right? And he's just, like, all nuts and crazy. Like, he's been locked in for years.
That's got a bit of a Blair Witchy remake about it.
Like,
he's almost been there longer than they have.
Yeah, because time's elusive. Mm-hmm. Time's weird. We don't know what's going on. At some point, that CCTV camera, the time code on it just starts, like, flipping like nonsense. Like, it's just random numbers all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the Bermuda Triangle of buildings.
Yeah, we are in the heart of the Bermuda building.
The heart of darkness.
So the bathtub scene, they go back in that room. They're running away from some other monsters who have some spooky mouth eye situation.
Yeah.
It's a little much for me on the scare front, but, you know, I'll take it.
Looks good.
Yeah, I you know, whenever I see, like, a real physical monster, I'm always just like, okay. All right, we're doing it.
We're doing it.
We went there. When they run into that bathtub room, the bathtub is filled with blood.
Mm.
And Matt, who is, like, almost catatonic at this point, starts like walking over to it, and TC tries to grab him and is pulled into the bathtub of blood. And so 1, 2, 3, they hurl the tub over and the blood spills out and it's empty.
And you're gone.
That's a nice little trick.
Yeah.
I like that. It's super simple. Like you just do a cut somewhere and then the tub doesn't have a person in it, but it looks great.
Cutting the commotion, really.
Yeah. I prefer stuff like that to the, oh, there's something in the corner, and he turns around and looks at us, and his face stretches into a black hole.
When was the first time we saw that scare? You were saying The Grudge, right?
I'm thinking that originated with The Grudge.
Yeah.
The little boy in The Grudge has a shrieky face.
Just sort of like elongates.
And then I said Edward Munch's scream.
Yeah, that's exactly like,
there's
what
the original.
Yep.
But yeah, the stretchy face scream is a... It's a common trope.
We don't see it too much anymore because it's a little overdone, but it still shows up in like super indie movies.
Ouija Origin of Evil had a big stretchy face scream.
So I'm talking specifically like blacked out eyes, blacked out mouth. I'm not talking just like brain scan, open the mouth.
Yeah, but they're all relatives of each other because her eyes go white and her face stretches impossibly.
Okay, sure. Yeah, yeah. Distant cousins.
They're in the same family. Yeah. They're in the same genome. What do you think of the hands? For a trailer, super fucking cool.
Oh yeah, looks good.
Reminds me of Spooky. Day of the Dead.
Yep.
The calendar scene.
Repulsion. Roman Polanski's Repulsion. That one's maybe got a little more in tone with the rest of the movie.
The hands are very big.
They're huge.
Like impossibly big, which looks cool. And when they're running, like it's very spooky. The cameras are really erratic. They're trying to run and there's just hands coming from the walls and the ceiling. I don't know if it makes sense for the ghosts being mental patients or like crazed doctors, but it almost just seems kind of random. Like they had a ton of really great ideas for doing a haunted house and they squeezed them all into this movie.
Sure.
I think is so what I loved time being weird. I loved the impossible building.
Yeah.
I loved the food going rotten.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, but that also plays into the time.
Yeah.
Because they open the cooler. It's only been like a few hours and everything's rotted like it's been days.
The blood tub and the exit entry drawer. But then everything after that felt like it was just like an extra spook.
Agreed.
And it was just too many spooks for me.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want I want these movies to be slower and more drawn out, but some of them felt a little random.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're all good ideas, but they maybe don't necessarily need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot. And, you know, like, we were talking about, we were talking about Rec being, like, a 78-minute movie. This is, like, an hour and 30, hour and 38. Could have been cut down, maybe.
Yeah, like, if it was supposed to be an hour-long TV show, make it an hour-long TV show.
I'm down with that.
I mean, that would make sense, though.
Make it's
just like, why are we cutting the TV show after these people have died?
Yeah, that's a little much. That's disrespectful. But yeah, it's at some point
they end up in the basement tunnels.
Yeah, they're in the basement tunnels. They're basically back in time at this point, and eventually just becomes Lance. Like Lance is left alone,
and it seems really long though because Sasha gets really sick. She's barfing blood.
And he's like, Sasha's not going to make it. She's slowing the group down. Like, whoa, what?
And then,
all for one, but.
And then, like, vampire Dracula fog comes and takes her.
Yeah, it just takes her away. Like, the whole place covers in fog, airs out, she's gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's spooky and cool, but.
Sort of random.
Yeah.
Really weird.
What if it's all in Lance's head? What if it's like he's the kid from the Twilight Zone and everything he thinks can become possible? And just because
he's
kid,
like, Sasha's gone. And
yeah, and now, boom,
Sasha's gone.
You got it, kid.
I like the food is rotten. He's like, guess I gotta eat this rat.
Oh, fun fact. I was looking up quotes for this movie for the game that I was putting together, which didn't work, unfortunately. But I found one really cool thing. At the end of this movie, it says, no rats were eaten in the filming, making of this movie. Also, like, that typical disclaimer at the end, like, all characters spare no resemblance to any living or, and in this movie, undead people.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. That's good. Clever. That's like when you do a PowerPoint presentation in grade 8 and you do your own credits and you put your name as everything, like producer, director, writer,
sound,
star, host,
so,
recipient of grade A, of A plus grade, me.
So at some point in the tunnels, he discovers this, like, secret medical room. And that's where this film really starts to mirror Rec, because we have an underbelly. We have a secret room with like papers and medical stuff. And this
like
is where
satanic rituals.
Yeah.
Almost, right?
And this is where we find out that the original doctor was pretty, pretty sinister.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we know that there was a record amount of lobotomies taking place at this building, but we don't necessarily know why. I mean, at the time...
Devil wants brains!
I mean, like, back then, like, we thought that, oh, this is just what doctors did, yeah, back when bloodletting was a thing, which no one does now, really. They used to do lobotomies all the time. We don't really... Do we do lobotomies at all anymore?
Mm.
Is that like a worst-case scenario thing?
I don't know if they call them lobotomies. They do...
Some sort
of. If you have tumors and stuff, they'll take some of your brain out.
I guess that's technically a lobotomy, isn't it?
Kind
of. Do you have to take it out of the frontal lobe for it to be a lobotomy?
Well, because I think that's what a lobotomy used to... Didn't they put a hook up your nose and like scramble your brains up?
Oh, they just like all willy-nilly did it?
And sometimes they cut it open. I think it depended.
Yeah, I guess they didn't really know much about brain stuff. Like
brain stuff.
Well, Canada back in the 60s... Canadian.
Burnt toast.
Burnt toast. Doctor, I smell burnt toast.
We've solved it. This yes, part of your it. Brain is for your toast.
This is your toast brain. Everyone's favorite brain. Wouldn't it be great, though, to just press a button and be able to smell like, ooh, breakfast? Like, wouldn't that be nice?
That's a seizure, John. That's a small seizure.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a real good point. That was the problem. She was epileptic. But we fixed it.
Save the day.
Yay, Canada.
Another,
we weren't trying to worship the devil.
Another thing that the end of this movie reminded me of, in the beginning when they were talking about the like origins of the hospital, they do some footage into like, this was the conditions of the hospital originally. Didn't look great. The old-timey footage just looked a little...
I think it's actually from a documentary. There is like a real one. Am I wrong? Did it look new to you? It looked modern?
I don't know.
There is...
Well, and they did the dog. They had the doctor on his operating table,
okay,
and
well,
stuff,
yeah,
and that looked a little hokey.
They definitely filmed that one because they reuse it again, or not reuse it, but like we wind up in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
We wind up at that operating table where just as so all the nurses are obviously in on this too, right?
Nurses are definitely evil as well.
Yeah, because only a few steps away, can you imagine the doctor trying to convince them? Just like, oh no, we need the skull and the skin bound book.
Disregard the pentagram.
Yes, it's are you a doctor? Did you spend 20 years in? I didn't think so. This is required, and this must be sterilized every day. I will need you to clean this. Do not hurt the eye on my book. It is alive. It does look around. Talk to it. Put it to sleep, then give it a quick rinse. What are they trying to do there? I guess all they were really...
I have no idea.
Yeah, they're dark arts.
Something sinister.
Whatever they did, it made that place super duper haunted.
Maybe they wanted to make a Bermuda Triangle.
Maybe they just wanted to make...
Maybe that was it. They just didn't want to die, and so now they're continuing on as these like spirits.
You know what?
They needed to sacrifice a number of brains to get there.
The doctor seems like he's doing okay. I mean, in terms of like, if your goal is, I don't want to die.
You know what I would like? More open mouth screaming, please.
Yeah.
I would like black eyes and open mouth screaming.
What if, okay, that was the caveat. Like, hey, you can live forever. You can, this is the devil.
You can live forever.
You can live forever. You can perform as many surgeries as you want, in my name, of course, but I will need to give you an open face scream. You're like, an open face sandwich. No. An
scream.
Open face scream. Yes.
Black eyes, black mouth, scream.
Yeah. You've seen the movies, right?
Now I will need 800 mentally ill brains.
Oh, boy.
Forever. Okay, so are there any scenes that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about all the false endings of this movie.
It does end a bunch.
It ends a lot. And I think the problem is that you need to cut in order to cut back and go progress the story. Otherwise, you're just watching him walk and watching him discover things. So, you know, unfortunately, and maybe it's because so many found footage movies that came after this and even around the same time have really ambiguous endings. They all seem to end at weird points because it's supposed to be real. So this is the moment where they stopped filming or where they dropped the camera, and it never really ends like a movie would. It doesn't sort of tidy things up into a nice little bow.
Well, and I think, too, part of the allure with these is that a lot of found footage films have alternate endings and multiple endings, so that when you get the DVD release, it's like with three unseen endings.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we saw all three of those endings in this movie because like the camera cuts and we're like, oh, wow, okay, cool. And then poof, we're back on like, okay, so I didn't die just there, but I'm back. It's just me. things are looking a little grim. And then we come back, now we've got the doctor, and the doctor's performing surgeries, and the doctor's closing in on us. And then open mouth, face scream, and we cut away to black, but we're still not done. We still have time to, like, zip back on one more time to be like, Lance Preston.
Lance Preston, I've had a lobotomy, but we're not gonna show it. But my eye is dripping juices.
See, that's the thing. We needed to see the hole in the head.
Yeah, I wanted some Hannibal, you know, eating the brain scene.
Man, what's your rating of this movie?
Hard to say, because there's some stuff, you know, some disbelief stuff. The ghosts are a little too showy for me.
Sure. Got that found footage bump, though.
Got a found footage bump, and the impossible stuff is so sweet, so lovely, so up my alley. I'm going to go 2 out of 4. Yeah. 2. 2 out of 4.
Yeah, this movie's got a lot of great ideas. Unfortunately, just like maybe a little too much. I'm also giving this a 2 out of 4.
These kind of movies are really fun to watch, though. I love watching found footage movies. I think found footage for me is disposable in the way that I think slasher films are. You know how you love slashers regardless of whether they're good or not?
Exactly.
That's what found footage is to me.
Yeah.
So washable.
I'll watch all
watchable?
Of them.
Washable.
I can't watch found footage back to back to back to back to back like I used to be able to. Like, I can't watch a dozen of them in a row anymore. But I could probably still do that with slashers. I don't know. Like, those are both those genres are both very formulaic. I think no matter what, you kind of get burned out a little bit, regardless of which one you're watching, because it's just like template, 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 template. But I think you guys should watch more found footage movies if you're not watching found footage movies. Like, oh man, they are so good.
Did you rate this?
Yeah, I gave it a 2 out of 4.
Okay. I couldn't remember. They're also just very social. I like watching found footage with people.
Yeah.
Especially because they got the spooks. Same as slasher.
But that's just our opinion. Obviously, we think Wreck is the better of these two movies. They're both great, and found footage is still probably the best subgenre in horror. I'm saying it. next to the 90s slasher. Everyone's favorite. Who doesn't love a whodunit? Let us know your thoughts on both of these movies, Grave Encounters and Wreck, over on Twitter at NOFS Podcast, on Instagram. No, fuck that.
In the Facebook Fiend Club, that's at facebook.com/groups/horrorfiendsofNOFS.
And of course on Reddit, in the Nightmare on Film Street subreddit.
Do you know what the URL is, John?
Yeah, but I mean, I shouldn't have introduced it like that. At reddit.com/r/NightmareOnFilmStreet.
Thank you.
We say it like Google or search bars don't exist ever. You know what we could do? Go to Facebook. Google Nightmare on Film Street. Go to Reddit. Google.
It's Google it on Reddit. Google it on Facebook.
Yeah, but Bing it on Instagram.
Nobody bings it.
No one bings it. That's the joke.
Oh. We're going to continue this conversation over on Patreon. We have a little bonus game planned in which John is going to quiz me on some found footage box office numbers.
You're damn right. This one's called Found Footage for the Win. We're going to see how found footage movies are some of the best found footage movies of a given year performed at the box office compared to some of the other bigger films.
But if you want to get that bonus episode and a ton of other bonus content like merch and swag, full-length episodes and reviews of current movies in the theater, you can support us on patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. We are a listener-supported show, and everything we do here on Nightmare on Film Street, from our bandwidth to our hosting to our audio hosting, the website, that's all supported by you guys, and we couldn't do it without you. So if you want to support the show, head to patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. If you aren't able to make a recurring donation, we also have a merch store with super cool stuff. You can get a Nightmare on Film Street t-shirt. We have enamel pins, buttons, all kinds of stuff there. That is at store.nofspodcast.com.
And of course, the best way to support the show on any given day for free is to just tell a friend about it, somebody that you think would like Nightmare on Film Street, and just enjoys a good scary movie.
But that's it from us this week. We'll be back at you again in 2 Thursdays from now with another full-length episode. But until then, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. Just long enough to tell the tale of the Nightmare on Film Street. Ow! Help us grow the horde. leave a review on iTunes or wherever you subscribe. Continue this week's conversation on Twitter by following at NOFS Podcast. And as always, more terror can be found lurking on our website, www.NightmareOnFilmStreetPodcast.com. Until next week, stay creepy, fiends.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.